Vanetics, with Gabriel Avurancha and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled, Relating to Each Other Through Constant Change as Destiny Reservists. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
Okay. Relating to each other through constant change as destiny reservists. As Neon pointed out, at least that is the prime directive of destiny reservists. It is the prime directive of the master universe. Change in our lives happens much more than we may think. To give you some third-dimensional analogies here, change is a noun, bear with me. Alteration, variation, difference. Mutation, permutation, modulation, inflection, conjugation, declension, frequent change, variability, changeableness. Modification, adjustment, process, treatment, qualification, conversion, break with the past, innovation, new look, newness, winds of change, change for the better, reformation, improvement, change for the worse, deterioration, sick, change of direction, U-turn, diversion, shift, turn around, turn about, deviation, regression, relocation, change of position, transition, translation, transposition, transference, interchange, alteration, reversion, overthrow, inversion, catalyst, change of mind, change of heart, change of pace. In Middle English, there's the word changin, C-H-A-G-E-N, changin. It means to exchange. It's a Celtic term. Celtic origin. Now, those of us who know that the Celtic origins comes from the universe of Avalon or the Pleiades, could this have something to do with Avalon or the Pleiades? And the use of the term change agents with the Knights of the Round Table, who had a vision to fight against the rebellion? The rebellion in ourselves as well as in others, to have a vision of Camelot, to change the unholy city into a holy city, a holy world. So the word change looks pretty much like it is of Avalon origin. Isn't that interesting? So change agents have to change faster than anyone else here in divine administration. There are 130 uses of the word change in the Urantia book. On page 41, it says, God loves the sinner and hates the sin. Such a statement you've heard before is true philosophically. But God is a transcendent personality, and persons can only love and hate other persons. Sin is not a person. God loves the sinner because he is a personality, reality, potentially eternal. While towards sin, God strikes no personal attitude, for sin is not a spiritual reality. It is not personal. The love of God saves the sinner. The law of God destroys the sin. This attitude of the divine nature would apparently change if the sinner finally identified himself wholly with sin, just as the same mortal mind may also fully identify itself with the indwelling spirit adjuster. Such a sin-identified mortal would then become wholly unspiritual in nature, and therefore personally unreal, and would experience eventual extinction of being if they do not realize their sin. It's good, folks, to realize it. It's good, folks, to catch yourselves. Some of you may catch yourselves a few minutes after you've sinned. Some of you a few hours. Some of you a few days. God forbid if it takes a few weeks. God forbid if it takes a few months. And oh my God, you may be near extinction if it takes a lifetime. For you may be then incapable of rehabilitation, unreality, even incompleteness of creature nature, the Urantia book continues, cannot exist forever in a progressively real and increasingly spiritual universe. So if you don't change, you won't make it. That's what they say back in Pittsburgh. But you know what I mean. In many areas of personality, we have found out in divine administration that people seem to change so slowly, so ever slowly. The physics of rebellion is taught to students in the Melchizedek schools through continuing fifth epoch of revelation. Physics of rebellion. Wow, it's a subject that takes a lot of study and a lot of experience to understand what the physics of rebellion is in relationship to you and others. You need to have the noun version of the word change, change of heart. Interesting, the word change of heart, a reversal of one's opinion, attitude, or feelings. Many of you think your attitudes are who you are. That's bad. That's bad. Because most of your attitudes are not godly attitudes. These are attitudes you picked up out there in the third dimension to survive, not to coexist with spiritual people. You think that your feelings cannot change. Many of you think that you determine reality by how you feel at your gut level. No, you got to get away from those lower chakras and circuits. You got to get up to at least the heart circuit. Change of heart. It's a good saying on this planet. It has a lot of truth to it. CFR teaches that the heart chakra or circuit is where the Heavenly Father's connection is, where His authority is to the rest of the circuits of the body. It's this heart circuit that tells the whole body how to act, how to maneuver, what to do next, the heart circuit. And we teach a lot about the heart circuit in our seminars and in our classes and schools of Melchizedek, that there are thousands, indeed millions, of sub-circuits, all connected to different beings of higher orders, are trying to reach us to tell us right behavior, right relationship to each other. It's a vast, vast subject. It isn't one that you will learn in a few days, a few weeks, a few months, a few years. It's one that you will continually to learn through your ascension to paradise, in your relationship and conflicts that you have with other beings and other personalities throughout time and space. And so you have to be changeful, the adjective, having the tendency or ability to change. Do you have the tendency to change? I hope so. I hope so. Because if you don't, you don't have the spirit of truth functioning or activating in you. You have your own self-will activating, not the spirit of truth. For the spirit of truth gives you the tendency to change. Even the word changeful, having the tendency or ability to change. the variable. You need to have that variable. Spirit of truth. It's not what your pastor tells you. It's not what Gabriel tells you. It's not what your guru tells you. It's what God tells you at the moment. Because the justice in every moment, in every situation, in every relation between two people, there's God. I'll go on to explain that. The spirit of truth that Jesus left behind 2,000 years ago gives all humanity, Urantia and starseed alike, the tendency to become Christ-like. You've got it. All you need to do is make it work, to activate it, to activate that spirit of truth. Those of you and everyone in this room, well, you wouldn't be here, are destiny reservists. You're called to be destiny reservists. And you are asked to become change agents, a word that originally originated from the universe of Babylon. You have to first change yourselves and come out of the status quo. You cannot stay behind. And those attitudes and those feelings and those behaviors that keep you in the rebellion, that keep you part of the problem rather than part of the solution. There are natural changes that do happen. Of all the ones that I read, there's also the changes that we seem to have no control of whatsoever. For instance, in men and women, we seem to lose our nearsight in our 40s that forces us to wear eyeglasses. Why is that? I mean, what is that? Why does God just make us more perfect so that we don't have to get glasses in our 40s? Why does he do that? Why don't he just heal us? Why did he build us that way? What is that? Well, that's one of those mysteries. One of those mysteries. Maybe he wants to humble us. Maybe he wants us to look a little more distinguished. It could be. You know? Maybe it's a sign of wisdom. But God has a way of helping us to walk in humility. Many of us in our 20s think that we're indestructible. You know, by the time we get to our 40s, help! At least we should get there. Sometimes it takes a little longer. It takes when we get in our 50s. But believe me, help is the newfound word that we learn between our relationship with ourselves and God, our Creator. Then there's the change that we have no control over, mostly with women, of course. It's called menopause. Why does God do that? Why? Why do women have to go through that? They have to suffer through it. A lot of them suffer more than others. Many of you women out there is going through it and going through it. You know what I'm talking about. I think God could have made you women a lot more perfect. Why should you have to take estrogen and other things to, you know, keep you going? Why couldn't God just make that happen naturally? And if you're not going to have any more babies, okay, fine. God will give you what you need. Why do we need drugs? Artificial or, you know, official? Organic or inorganic? Why do we need them? Why can't we just, you know, eat some good food? Well, we probably can. But living on a fallen planet, there's a lot of things we have to change and do based upon the fact that we are living on a fallen planet. The foods are not quite as pure. The air we breathe isn't quite as pure. The water we drink is not quite as pure. And so our immune systems suffer. And we find out that this book says this, this book says that, that book says this, this book says that. We read all the books, and they all seem to say something a little different. How do we know what the truth is? About what to eat, about what not to eat, about this, about that, about spiritual reality, about spiritual truth, about what is truth, as Pontius said to truth standing before him. Change Many people go through tragic divorces because one or the other won't change into the person that the mate wants them to become. I went through two of them that way. Both were tragic. When I lost Jerry because of my little boy blue syndrome, you know, always singing the blues, mostly always depressed. I gave her the luxury of carrying my depression all the time, of observing it. She was a fireball full of life, full of joy, and I was little boy blue. I recognized my problem when she left me. After 4.5 years, she left me. I recognized my problem just a few weeks after she left. But it was 6 months that we had a separation. And I thought I had changed. I thought that I changed. But in the preceding weeks, my letters to her were proof to her that I really had not changed yet. I just had the desire to change. For her, the desire was not enough. Too much water had passed under the bridge between us. Too much sad interactions between my singing the blues had transpired between her and I. It would take her a long time to really see me in a different light, to see me as a different man. Even when some of those changes were true, she still saw the old Tony. It was painful because I kept on saying to her, I've changed. And she said, no, you haven't. So in divine administration, you need to give the other person the benefit of the doubt. The benefit of our doubts a lot quicker to enable them to feel good about themselves and their own desires, even if not completely actualized, to make changes in their dire lower natures. Change. The butterfly is no longer the caterpillar. A lot of beautiful butterflies, all different kinds of colors. Caterpillars, they all seem to be the same. Ugly. I don't know. I just don't like caterpillars. But I like those butterflies, you know? And destiny reserves. You need to really view each other in the rainbow of divine colors that God has given us to see. Really. A lot of times when I speak for myself, when I look at you, you think I'm seeing all the bad stuff in you. And I'm actually seeing all the beauty in you. You know, and I don't know how to handle that except, oh, shucks, they think I'm looking at something else, you know. And usually I'm not doing that at all, you know. But, you know, I want to see the butterfly in you, not the caterpillar. I don't like caterpillars. So I'd much rather, it's more pleasant for me to see the butterfly in you than the caterpillar. And every once in a while, when you become the stink bug, I still see the butterfly in you. I've said that before. I still see the butterfly in you.
You know what part of a stink bug is dominant? Got it?
So there's divine colors that all of you can actually give off so beautifully. And you do. In your auras, in your confidence. You give off these beautiful divine colors. That's what you need to see in each other. Not looking back at all of the stink bug stuff. No, but the butterfly stuff is what you need to look. And so the next challenge of opinion you have, or a difference that you have with a brother or sister in God, could be the start of a new painting in God's canvas of eternity. Because each of you are a color. The situation or circumstance or difference of opinion is a canvas. Paint the canvas beautiful paint the canvas with so many beautiful, unique, different variations of theme and color. Get out of that past, inflexible, bad attitude, pride. Get into the beautiful flexibility of hearing what the other person has to say. And then responding with patience, kindness, and love. That's a challenge. But boy, it's possible, you know. Hopefully, or there could never be such a thing as heaven. Many of you want to go to heaven and paradise, and you want to remain the same. How can that be? Can't get there like that. That's why all throughout eternity, God mixes all kind of little colors with your main color so that you can keep on colorizing. That's my word. And become a variation of the theme of this magnificent, beautiful rainbow of virtues that you are. And so when those situations do occur, and they will continue to occur, because conflicts, difference of opinions, misunderstandings will continue to happen here in this, yes, quote, divine administration all the time. But when they do happen, glasses on, paint the divine masterpiece in those moments. Let those moments be so special that there's only one thing, one result that could come out of it, the masterpiece of God. And you all have the ability to do that because you're special souls. Special souls that God has chosen to become destiny reservists, teachers, leaders to the peoples of this planet in the future. That's why you're here. Jesus himself only had 12, and one left him, but we are doing greater things, having the ability to teach in the schools of Melchizedek these wonderful principles on a daily basis than Jesus did. We are so blessed. We are moving ahead much more faster than many of us think we are. We are accomplishing so much. And so, once again, look forward to those challenges. Look forward to those misunderstandings. As Confucius say, always expect the unexpected. This is not a perfect world. And even in divine administration right now, we have not even reached the first stage of light and life. We are in the pre-stages. This administration is very, very new. Compared to the Catholic Church that has been in existence for at least 2,000 years, that's a big difference. But we have a higher responsibility to be perfect in God. That's what our uniqueness is. We try harder. We must try harder. And with every force of energy, with every ounce of godliness that you have in you, you must respond to each other in a higher way. That is your challenge. Paint the masterpiece. Thank you.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.